So we're in a series titled Claiming Your Inheritance. Today is part two, and I want to begin with the story. There's a pastor by the name of Wade Hughes who is in Washington, D.C. for a National Education Association convention. He's on the 13th floor of a building, and he looks out the window. And this is what he saw. He said, "I focused on this pile of garbage. Someone had thrown out their car window, and I thought how bad it was." There was a guy with him, and he turned to him and said, "Well, what do you see when you look out the window?" And this friend, looking out the same window, pointed to a beautiful flower garden and noted how colorful the flowers were. Two men standing looking out the same window, one saw garbage as they're focused. The other saw a flower garden and the beauty of their flowers. When the 12 spies went into the land of Canaan, some saw opportunities, some saw obstacles. Two guys saw possibilities, 10 saw impossibilities. Two of them saw a better future, 10 of them thought it'd be better to go back to where they were. Two saw flowers, 10 saw garbage. You see, you and I can look out the same window and see different things in life. And today we're going to talk about going after your hill country. God has a hill country for everybody here for 2024. Depends on how you look at life. And we find here that we learned last week that the hill country could be maybe many different things, but let me break it down in summary. Number one, it could be a spiritual inheritance. What does that mean? You learn in a new way through grace what forgiveness is about, about how you can find healing emotionally, how there's a promise from God to bless you in a way that you hadn't thought about. It's spiritual in nature. Paul called it the riches of God's grace. A second category is what we call a ministry inheritance. Do you realize there's people that God knows about today that he wants to send into your pathway so that you could be a blessing to them? It's all about people. It's about you making a difference in your family and then in the sphere of influence that you live in. It's a ministry inheritance. Listen, God is just lining up people he wants to send to you that you could help direct the path of their life. A third category is what we call material inheritance. The book of Deuteronomy says, God can send a blessing on our barns. It's the stuff of life. He can bless everything we do. And a material inheritance is somehow, some way, God can just prosper people. He that is faithful with a few things, God will reward with more things. And so 2024, God may be saying, hey, part of your hill country is a material blessing coming your way. So spiritual, ministry, material could be a whole lot more, but those are three main categories. And we said our hill country is this. It's God's inheritance to you. In other words, he has something just for you that he wants you to inherit. You didn't earn it. He just wants to give it to you. And so we call this the hill country for each of our lives. And let me say this. Every individual here and those listening online has a hill country. It's something that God wants you to go after and he wants to give to you. But secondly, God has hill countries for churches. What do I mean by that? It's a bigger picture effort. And it takes a group of people to pull off. Maybe it's a flag project to touch every country in the world, 195 of them. Maybe it's working with kids, 252 and XP3. Maybe it's soup that Sharon and others have been a part of through the years. Projects that are bigger than we are, animal projects, sending money to the Congo that Pat and others raise money for. It's a bigger picture deal, and it takes a group of people to pull it off. So those are the two kinds of inheritances. So here's what I want to do today. I want to talk about Caleb's life and four truths about how Caleb entered into his inheritance. And these four principles apply to you and me as well. So that when you think about the coming year, 2024, we're into it already. How do we go about embracing and receiving God's inheritances for us? All right, let's get started. Number one in your notes. The first thing that Caleb did is he claimed the promise. He claimed the promise. Read with me verse 9, chapter 14 in your notes. So on that day, Moses swore to me, the land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. 45 years earlier, Caleb is saying, Moses, the leader then, swore to me. He's the leader. Now I want you to notice another phrase, the verse underneath it. He says this, now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. Now he's saying God promised it to him. Moses said it, and he says the Lord promised it to me as well. Let me say this. Build your future on the promises of God. Build your life on the promises of God. We want to go to heaven. And so Jesus said, whoever believes on him will receive the gift of eternal life. I'm building my future on that verse or verses. But there are individual promises that God will drop into your life that are just for you. And we build our future on the promises. Notice this promise was for Caleb. Joshua was the other one that entered the land of Canaan 40, 45 years later. But listen, it was just for them. The other people of their generation all died off. They had unbelief. They didn't ask or trust God that he would deliver them going into the land of Canaan. So it was a special promise to them. Read with me 2 Corinthians 1:20 in your notes. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. The more you spend time in the Word reading it, pull out your pen, a highlighter, mark your Bible up, put a date beside it, say, you know what? God gave me that promise on that day, and it just speaks to my heart. Just keep a journal of them. Keep track of them. They're promises just for you, and build your future on them. I want to share one promise that the Wednesday prayer group has claimed off and on for many years. It's in your notes, Isaiah 60:22. Here's what it is. The least of you will become a thousand, the smallest a mighty nation. I am the Lord. In its time, I will do this swiftly. And let me say what I believe this particular promise means to us. This church, this body of believers, at some point in the future, will grow to 1,000 people. God will just bless it, and we have to do our part to move it forward. But it's a promise that we have claimed for the church for some time. We got a ways to go. But let me tell you, when you think of a church on the hill and you build it for a 1,000-seat auditorium that'll hold that many people, you have two services, it could be more than that. But it's a promise that we claim, that we embrace, we believe that God will just make it happen as we move it forward. God has promises for your life individually. Get into the Word, read it, and say, Lord, show me what it is, my hill country, that you want to give to me. Here's a quote I'll have Jack put up. God has never broken a promise. So if there's something in your life where you're struggling with, find a promise from God of what he wants to do about it going forward. Let me tell you, that becomes the platform, the foundation of hope to build your life on. Everything else in the world is sifting sand. But when you find a promise or promises, lay hold of it, anchor your life to it, and believe it every day. Just continue to claim it. That's what Caleb did for 45 years. Number two. The second thing he did is he relied on God. He relied on God. Read with me verse 12 in your notes. You yourselves heard then that the Anakites were there, and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said. Joshua says the people are large and the cities are fortified. He says, but the Lord helping me, I will drive them out. I want to go back to when the 12 spies went into the land of Canaan. This is the great separator of why 10 said no and 2 said go. On the backside, of your sermon listening guide, let's read together Numbers 13, 31 to 33. But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. 10 of them versus 2 of them. They were all on the 13th floor looking out the same window. They came back, and 10 of them said, there's no way we can conquer that land. 2 of them, Joshua and Caleb, said, yes, we can. We will rely on God to deliver us. The 10 were faithless. They looked at the 13th floor window and they saw through the lens of what they could do in their own strength. The other two guys, Joshua and Caleb, had a God lens. And the God lens made the difference because they were relying upon God to do something they could not do themselves. Here's the point. You're here today. You've got a major issue in your life. Maybe you got something that's bigger than you are, a giant of some kind. You say, how do I deal with this? Here's the secret. A self lens is what you can do by yourself. A God lens says, wait a minute. God is bigger than the giant I'm facing. Caleb and Joshua used the God lens out of the 13th floor window, and they said, we can do it. In your personal life, make sure you look at life through the God lens, whatever's going on in your life, because that will make the difference. Some time ago, I was listening to, it's like an online seminar, and I was listening to a guy who was a pastor in California, who had a church that was close to Saddleback, Rick Warren's church out in California. And Rick Warren has 20 or 30,000 people. I mean, it's a mega church. This guy had a real small church. And he felt inferior. He was close in proximity to Rick Warren's church, and his church was very small. And he struggled with this sense of like, I'm just not good enough to, I don't have that big church. And he made a statement that day. I wrote it down in my Bible, and maybe you want to write this one down. This was a game changer. Here's what it is. If you don't see a grasshopper in the mirror, neither will anybody else. The 10 spies came back and it says, we seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them, and they said they couldn't conquer the land and take their hill country because it was too big of a challenge. Listen, it's called grasshopper mentality, a grasshopper faith. If you and I don't see ourselves or see God in the equation of our life, listen, everything in life, we will feel like a grasshopper. If you don't see a grasshopper when you look into the mirror, nobody else will either. But if you see a grasshopper when you look into the mirror and you say, you know what, that's kind of what I am, listen, other people will see that and hear you saying that. So we find here that, the difference maker between the 10 and the 2 was that Joshua and Caleb had a God lens. And the God lens made the difference when they said, yes, we can conquer the land. Here's another quote. Focus on God, not on your problem. That's a good one. What are you focusing on this morning? The problem or God? Listen to God, not your insecurities. Insecurities can drag us down and we get deep into a pit. Rely on God, not your own strength. And so a God lens out of the 13-floor window, looking across the horizon, will give you a perspective that God is bigger than the problem or the giant in my life. And so focus on God, not on your problem. And here's the last quote. When David faced Goliath, he didn't talk about how dangerous Goliath was. He talked about how great God is. It was focus. How great God is versus, oh, Goliath is a dangerous guy. So you and I, the lesson here is when we build our life on the promises of God, we then say, hey, he's got to help me to get there. I'm going to rely upon him. And we challenge our grasshopper mentality. Listen, I've had that. You've had that. We all suffer from that. We got to push past it and say, wait a minute. With God helping us, we can go after a hill country individually and even as a church. Okay, number 3. Third truth about Caleb's and his hill country is this. He had passion for it. He had passion for it. Let me read for you the verse in your notes. Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, ever since. I shared before that Hebron was important to Caleb because Abraham and Sarah, his ancestors, were buried there. He was personally motivated. He had passion. For 45 years, he incubated an idea. If I ever get back to the promised land, if I ever get another shot at it, I want Hebron. Because it was special to him. It was in his heart. It was meaningful. And the point is, you and I have to find the hill country that gives us passion. You get excited about. You want to do it just because you want to do it. There's something that resonates inside. Maybe it's working with kids. That's what the group's on Wednesday. Deb and Tammy and Angelica and others. They love kids. Others, it's young at heart. Let's do things for the seniors. It could be soup. You know, what can we do to get soup going and feed the community? Men's ministry, women's ministry. Find your passion. Passion makes all the difference. Here's a quote. When I put God first, God takes care of me and energizes me to do what really needs to be done. Here's what it's saying. If you find what really turns your crank, so to speak, what lights you up on the inside, what gets you excited, listen, that passion will carry you in ways and in distances you couldn't do otherwise. It's because you want to do it. You want to go after it. That was Hebron for Caleb. Now, in your notes, I've got two lines there. One is a primary ministry and a secondary ministry. Here's what I want you to do. As you think about 2024, what is your primary ministry? I want you to write it down. What is it that you get super excited about, you're passionate about, you want to make a difference in life, you just do it because you want to do it and you're good at it? Then there's a secondary. Now, the secondary is this. You may not have as much passion for it. You still have some, but there's a need to make it happen. There's sometimes in life we're called to serve because there's a need there. I may have a primary passion in another area, but sometimes I just need to step up because there's a need there and I need to fill it. So what I want you to do is write down your primary and your secondary ministry. Identify it and say, for 2024, maybe it's Operation Christmas Child, I'm going to jump on board. I'm going to make it happen. And you literally say, that's my passion, primary or secondary ministry. All right. So passion propels us forward. And finally, number four. The fourth thing about Caleb is this. He had to work for it. He worked for it. Now read with me verses 15 and 16 in your notes. From Hebron, Caleb drove out the three Anakites, Sheshai, Ahiman, Talmai, descendants of Anak. From there he marched against the people living in Debir. See, I want you to read that verse with me because some of those words are bigger than me. So thank you for reading it. The point is this, it says he had to drive out these three people. And in the next verse or two, it says they marched against the people. It took hard work. Understand that your hill country, it's going to cost you. Going to cost you time. Going to cost you energy, even resources. Here's a quote. Hard work is the real key to success. And there comes a time where we know what we want to do with our life, but we got to work hard to make it happen. Here's another one. Nothing is going to be handed to you. You have to earn it yourself. There comes a place that if you and I want our dreams fulfilled, we got to go to work on it. We got to apply ourselves to make it happen. And then here's the last one. John Maxwell, everything worthwhile is uphill. There's a lot of truth to that. If you want to do something worthwhile this year, it's going to take some hard work. Could take a long time. And everything that's really valuable is going to take hard work to pull it off. So, number one, Caleb claimed the promise. Build your life and future on the promises of God. Number two, rely on him. Lean on him. Have a God lens. The 10 spies did not have it, and they became grasshoppers to the people and grasshoppers in their own eyes. Number three, he had a passion. Caleb had this passion for the Hebron. And find the area of your ministry, your life going forward. Where do you have great passion for? Just find that, identify primary and secondary ministries. And then number four, he worked for it. You know, it's like no free lunch. God just didn't drop it into his lap. He had to drive out the Anakites to make it happen. Well, in conclusion, final verse, let's read it together. So the Lord gave Israel all the land he had sworn to give their forefathers, and they took possession of it and settled there. I want you to circle two words. Took possession. Took possession. It's a verb. It's something of action. And God is saying to us, we have to take possession of what he wants to give us. Now here's the last slide. What is God's big plan for you? If he has an inheritance for all of us, individually and as a church, we just have to rely on God for his help because we can't do it ourselves. We have to have passion for it. We have to work for it. But he's got a big plan. And the question is, what is his plan for you that he wants to give you in 2024 so that you become engaged and you are part of the miracle to pull it off? You're part of the answer. God's big plan. Let's bow for prayer. I want you to take just a few moments. Be still, quiet your heart, and allow God to download into your spirit, your heart, your soul, ideas of what the Hill Country means for you. I mean, he'll do that if our hearts are open. And I want you just to receive it. So right now, this is a prayer of receiving. Will you say, Lord, here I am. Spiritual inheritance, ministry inheritance, working with people, material inheritance. God, whatever you have for me in this year, I'm open to receive it. I want your big plan. January through December, I'm open. I'm going to allow time in my life, and I'm going to use that energy to just live that purpose of taking that Hill Country. Show it to me. Deposit it into my life right now. Just take a few moments and receive that. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning on this first Sunday of the year that you've called us to be people that goes after hill countries. And I pray you'll stir every heart here today and those listening online to go after, to conquer, to put energy into the hill country of your calling in our lives. Father, we don't want to waste this year. We want it to count. We want to make a difference. We want to be difference makers, world changers in our community and around the world. Give us a big vision of the big plan you have for us, Father, that we would go after it and conquer it. So, Lord, we just surrender ourselves. Our time, our calendars, our resources, our availability. And Father, we embrace that which you plant into our hearts by faith, the hill country of an inheritance that we will just go after, Father, that will make 2024 a dynamic, living, meaningful, purposeful year, just because we spent time in your presence, opening our hearts and listening and receiving by faith the call of God based on the promises of God. So, Lord, we just offer ourselves. The verse that Jack read earlier about you go throughout the earth looking for people who are committed, who are yielded, so that your name can be glorified in us and through us. Father, just take us as a people. Take us as individuals. And may 2024 be the best year of our lives because we are alive on the inside. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.